Welcome back to Nonfiction Friends, where truth is stranger than fiction. My name is Rebecca.
And I'm Josh.
And I'm Josh.
Joshy.
Okay, so today we're going to be talking about weird but true facts.
Yes.
I think we should start off with some weird true facts about ourselves.
Oh, it's getting pretty personal.
I mean, you don't have to go too personal.
I mean, if you want me to.
Do you have any weird but true facts about yourself?
Yeah, I could probably think of a few.
Okay. Do you want me to go first so you can think?
Yes.
Okay. Let me think. The first thing is I have strange thumbs. You see my thumbs? Aren't they strange?
They're
short.
Thumbs.
They're clubbed. They're clubbed thumbs. It's called, I can't pronounce it, brachydactyly.
That's a dinosaur.
Type D. It's the same thing that Megan Fox has.
Interesting.
It's a fusion when you're developing of the thumb bones.
Huh.
So I have a short, wide thumb that has a term for it.
Well.
Your turn.
Weirdly but true, part of my spine is missing.
And yet here you are.
And here I am.
Fine and functional.
It's a lower part of my spine. I went into the doctor one day to find out why I was having so much back pain all the time. And it turns out the lower part of my spine, the bone isn't formed all the way around.
Whoa.
So I have exposed nerve endings.
Ooh.
And because back then I ran a lot of track, I had a lot of impact on my lower back from running.
Right.
So it hurt a lot.
I bet.
But
interesting.
I'm better now for the most part. Kind of. But I kind of got to live with it.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, this is a known fact to myself, but no one believes me because I won't do it in public.
I don't believe you.
I don't do this in public, but I do a really great Stevie Nicks impression.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't want to say I sing just like her, but I sing
just like her.
Like someone doing a Stevie Nicks impersonation, like a goof impersonation.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
One day maybe I'll get the nerve to do it in public so people believe me, but just take my word for it.
Huh. I have permanent metal in my body. It's a retainer.
You have a permanent retainer?
Yeah,
like you can never take it out?
Yeah. I have two actually. One glued to the top of my two front teeth and one glued to the bottom, I think, four teeth.
Interesting.
My teeth like to drift apart. So to fix that, the dentist was like, we're just going to glue a wire to your teeth and they won't do that anymore. And I was like, well, how long do I have to do this? I was like, Forever. So that's
can you
just,
feel it?
I mean, I can like feel it with my tongue, but like I stopped noticing it. The only time it became a problem was I ate something I wasn't supposed to. You know how the dentist tells you to eat, like don't eat stuff like popcorn, gum, and like all of this stuff like when you have braces. But like
right. It
goes over to when you have a retainer. But like I don't listen to any of that anyway. Hence why I go to the dentist a lot. But I bit into a frozen Snickers, and it broke the wire out from the back of my teeth.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So.
You can't ever eat a frozen Snickers?
No, and those are so good.
That makes me very sad for you.
Frozen Snickers are so good.
Wow. So, do you set off metal detectors?
I don't.
Okay.
Weirdly. I have seen it come up in, like, x-rays.
X-rays, yeah.
But I don't set off any sort of metal detectors.
Interesting.
I don't know if it's just because it's so small or it's just like it's a type of metal that doesn't really show up. I don't know.
Probably, I guess. Okay, well, last one for me is that I'm not 100% ambidextrous, but I can function with both hands. Like I can write with my left hand, even though I'm predominantly writing.
I can write with my left hand, just not very well.
Right. It kind of looks like scribbly. But you can read it, and if I have to, I can do almost everything with my left hand. Are you the same way?
No.
No.
Absolutely not. Although, like, I do, like, since I write with my right hand, I do everything else with my left hand.
Okay.
Like, with my phone, I'll carry everything in my left hand. I just hold things in my left hand. Like, I don't do anything else but write with my right hand.
Oh, interesting. So, maybe you're also slightly ambidextrous.
I just do that because I feel like it's balancing it out.
Because your right hand takes so much work for writing.
I don't know.
Maybe. Yes. All right. Well, that was interesting. Look, we learned a little bit about each other.
Yeah.
And our listeners learned about us some more.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure that they're super grateful for that.
Yeah. But if you got weird facts that you want to share with us, you should do that.
Yeah. Totes. Tweet us.
Tweet us at NFFriendsCast.
Yeah.
I'd love to see.
Twitter.
If I have any other friends out there that don't have perfect spines.
Yeah, and I'd love to meet other people that have club thumbs because I used to get made fun of a lot.
Club.
We could start a club of club thumbs. Club thumb club. That's hard to say. Okay. Should we move on to our book?
Sure.
The WTF Weird True Facts by Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Classic. It's a in 031.02. It actually came out in July, so we have it here.
Brand new.
Brand spanking new.
We're probably the first ones to check it out.
I don't know about that.
Well, I mean, maybe. Let's just say we are.
We were.
We broke it in for you. We shared the same book because it's chock full of weird true facts.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, gentlemen first.
Oh, okay. I'm going to talk about grapes. No, I'm not. Rebecca and I might have researched the same fact.
We might have. That's the hazard of researching the same book.
I won't be talking about grapes, unfortunately.
I'll be talking about grapes.
I will be talking about underwater water.
Underwater water.
Yeah. The Angelita Sea Note in the Mexican Yucatan Peninsula.
I've been there.
To this sea note or the Yucatan?
To the Yucatan.
Okay. This area looks ordinary from the surface, but if you dive 100 feet in the area, you'll find a sea note. A sea note is a deep sinkhole that forms from the collapse of limestone bedrock that exposes groundwater beneath. So it's like an underground sinkhole.
Yeah.
I think, does Wakaiva have one of those?
Do they?
Wakaiva has like some sort of like deep like hole. Like thing in their springs.
Oh, under the cave?
Yeah.
It's like an underwater cave.
Yeah.
Where,
have
like,
you been down there?
Air pocket. No, but I've seen it, heard of it.
Yeah. When I was a kid, I used to swim over it, and then I'd dive down.
Cool.
As far as I could. Obviously, I can't get far, but it's cool. It's scary.
Yeah.
It's like my friends and I always used to make like, oh, the Loch Ness Monster, or like, I don't know, some
naturally.
Sort of like, but, you know, gators are more prevalent.
Right. And very much terrifying.
Yeah. So over time, rainwater can fill in this hole, and an underwater river is formed when the salt and fresh water separate. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like, they're two different, like, so you have, like, an underground, like, separate like water thing,
right? Because they're different densities, right?
Yeah. The point at which the two waters meet is actually it's like fog like because of like, you know, the sea of the salt water.
Sure.
And it's called a hollow clean.
Oh.
So like, I don't know, it'd be like really like mysterious.
Yeah,
like,
sounds spooky.
Just, like, dive below like the fog to see like another. I don't know.
I wonder how that affects like your body, because I know you float differently in different types of water, right?
That's true. Yeah.
So I wonder if it's like all of a sudden like you feel different under the water.
I think it'd be freaky. I don't know if I would do it.
Me too.
I don't know if I would do it. But yeah, that's a thing that exists.
That exists. Cool.
And it's a giant hole in the water.
Well, I have something that doesn't exist.
Which is?
Well, you and I are both very big fans of the rainbow, right?
Yeah, I like it. I've been to the end of one. Didn't find any gold.
No gold? No gold. Leprechaun? No. That's a bummer. Well, what color isn't in the rainbow? that you would think like
black.
Well, that's because black is the presence of all colors at one time.
White.
The absence of all color.
It.
Pink. Pink is the answer. Pink isn't Chartreuse. In the rainbow because pink does not exist. There are no pink wavelengths of light. I beg to differ.
When you're wearing pink right now.
I am wearing pink right now. But what pink actually is the brain piecing together red and white wavelengths.
So, because my brain isn't smart enough to process the color,
isn't that fascinating? I wonder what people who are colorblind see when they see pink.
They're probably very confused.
It's like a blob.
Yeah.
A blob of gray, maybe?
I don't know.
I have to ask somebody. Next time, I think my brother is partially colorblind. I'll have to see if he sees pink.
Interesting.
But, like, when you start thinking about color and how it's just, like, the reflection of light and stuff, mm-hmm. isn't that fascinating?
Yeah. And like, how does it even work? To even think that, like, there are more colors that, like, we just can't perceive.
We can't perceive them, yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be so I wonder cool. if cats can see pink. Because, you know, cats have, they're colorblind.
So we're dogs.
I wonder what colors they see. We should look that up. Next episode.
On the next time, nonfiction friends. Yeah. So my next one is one of our favorite things.
Oh, chocolate? No, you don't like chocolate.
It's called Careful Whispers.
Ooh.
It's ASMR.
Oh, no. Hate it.
Otherwise known as the autonomous sensory meridian response. Examples are speaking softly. Turning pages, crunching things, etc.
I don't like a noise. I don't
Few people actually experience it. They describe it as a pleasant tingling that starts at the crown of the head and runs down the neck.
I bet that's why our friend Jonathan likes it so much.
Yeah. It actually, as old as 1925, Virginia Woolf's Miss Dalloway, it's actually talked about in
Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh.
It actually can be healthy for you, believe it or not.
I can see that.
Decreases levels of stress and sadness and decreased heart rate.
Yeah, because it's calming to you if you like that sort of thing. Personally, for me, it has the opposite effect.
If you like that sort of thing.
I get stressed because I don't like noise. I prefer the absence of all noise.
Well, no. I mean, it's not like noisy per se, but it's like just noisy enough.
That irritates me. That irritates me. Okay. So next, I'll talk about grapes.
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 Do you like purple grapes or green grapes?
I like purple grapes because green grapes are sour.
I like purple grapes.
We were just discussing this, but I don't like sour. I'm afraid of sour.
You fear the sour?
I fear sourness. I like red seedless grapes because they're tasty and sweet.
Yeah.
But did you know you should never put a grape in the microwave?
First of all, why are we putting grapes in microwaves?
For science. For science. Maybe people are trying to make raisins earlier. I don't know.
That's not how that works. Wouldn't you just use an oven?
Is that how it works?
I don't think so, but I'm just thinking like that's a better way for that to work.
Yeah, but microwave's more instant gratification. Anyway.
Okay. Well, yeah, where does my instant gratification get me?
Don't ever put grapes in the microwave. Don't, like, seriously, don't even try this.
Do not do this at home.
Even if you're absolutely curious, not. Do not try this because grapes are extremely flammable. A shoot of plasma, the same stuff that makes up the sun, comes out of grapes when you microwave them.
Yeah, you're going to make mini suns in your microwave.
Mini suns. Due to their size, each half of the grape contains an electromagnetic hotspot. When each half reaches the correct temperature, the two hot spots contact and make plasma sparks. The sparks ionize sodium and potassium to produce plasma. Do not try this at home.
Microwaves have been known to
explode.
There have been casualties.
Your microwave can catch fire.
Yeah, microwave casualties. If you like your microwave, don't do this.
If you don't want a fire
even if
in
you
your
don't,
house.
Yeah, well, even if you don't like your microwave.
Don't set fire to grapes. It's very tempting, but I don't like fire, and I don't want to have to call the ambulance or fire department.
Yeah.
So, there you go. Grapes. Finally.
Grapes are dangerous.
We have done the grapes.
We've weaponized grapes. Okay, so my next one is called Mighty Monsters. It has to do with the Unis Aphroditus, if you're not familiar with that.
I totally know what that is.
Yeah, of course. Otherwise known as the Bobbit Worm.
The bobbit worm.
It's actually a bristle worm that lives on the sea floor in burrows that it makes.
Gross.
They are about 1 inch wide, but they can grow anywhere between 4 inches and 10 feet long.
Holy mackerel.
Which is like a wild like size ratio.
1 inch wide, 10 inches long?
No, 4 inches. They can, they're 1 inch wide, but they can, their length.
Yeah.
Can any be toward between 4 inches and 10 feet?
10 feet? 10 feet?
Yeah.
Disgusting. I hate the ocean.
Yeah, Rebecca's not a fan of ocean creatures.
I love the ocean. I hate the creatures in it.
You hate manatees?
No, I love manatees.
Okay. Everyone loves a manatee.
Everybody loves manatees. They're sea cows.
It uses 5 antennae to sense prey nearby when it hides in its burrow.
Oh, gross.
It's actually capable of splitting fish in half.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So disgusting and dangerous.
Yeah. It injects prey with a toxin that makes it easier for digestion.
Nice. Like spiders.
Yeah. See, I wish I could do that to my food, like, since I'm, like, lactose. Can I inject cheese with, like, some sort of toxin that makes it easier for my body to process?
That would be great.
Right?
Science, let's get on this.
Lives in warmer waters among soft silt or coral reefs. There's actually been a problem with bobbit worms in the fact that, like, people who gather, like, sea rocks and stuff for their aquariums, like, they've been known to, like, hide in these sea rocks.
What?
And so, like, when fish start to go missing in some aquariums.
Oh, no.
It's because the bobbit worms were in those sea rocks.
Gross.
So.
Yeah, that's super gross.
Yeah.
Interesting. Josh, when you play back the podcast, because we're our own biggest fans, right?
Oh, for sure. I love listening to my own podcast.
Do you like the sound of your own voice?
Absolutely not.
Nobody likes the sound of their own voice. Do you know why?
Because it's gross.
Exactly. Enough. That's my fact.
And done. Josh's voice is gross. Weird, but true.
It's not weird. Everybody that listens to us can tell.
That's fair.
So we hear sounds by vibrations being picked up by our eardrums, perceiving external sounds through sound waves passing through the air into our ear canals and into our inner ear onto the cochlea.
I think that's right.
When listening to our own voice played back, we are hearing air conducted vibrations. When we speak, we also pick up vibrations through our jawbone and skull, known as inertial bone conduction, which brings out the lower frequency vibrations and makes our voice sound deeper and less squeaky than it actually is. The reason why we don't like the sound that we hear is because we're not used to it, but unfortunately, the playback sound is actually how you sound to others. So this is my formal apology to all of our listeners, anyone who's ever met me. I'm sorry about my voice.
We apologize.
Because I hate it. I hate listening to myself. It's much more high-pitched, and now we know why.
Okay, I have a small, weird, but true fact.
Okay.
This one was called Hold It In.
Uh-huh.
It has to do with the farts.
Perfect.
Recently, a Japanese woman ended up with burns to her waist and legs after farting during a surgery.
What?
It was during a laser surgery on her body, and she might have passed gas during the surgery, and the laser ignited the gas,
what?
Causing the surgical drape that was over her to ignite. So don't fart while you're getting surgery.
Can't help it. Better out than in.
Not in this case. Absolutely not. But this did happen.
That's wacky.
And it's in this book.
That is
so
weird.
So I reported it.
True fact. Okay. Well, my last fact is a little less personal, maybe. Why onions make us cry?
They're just...
Because they're reflections of our inner soul. And they bring out our deepest
Yeah. It's
deepest
like, you know, like I'm
desire.
Made out of layers, you know, and...
Onions belong to a group of vegetables that absorb high quantities of sulfur compounds from the soil. These are converted by the onion plant into other compounds that can transmogrify into a gas. Cutting open an onion releases enzymes and gas-prone compounds, combining the two forms into a synprobe panethyl S oxide, which, when reaching your eyes, sends a signal to your central nervous system, which causes your eyes to weep to wash it out. So basically, onions make your eyes sting, and it's your body's way of stopping it. Your body's like, no, get out of my eyeballs.
Yeah.
And so you weep.
That's fair.
Yeah. So that's it.
Yeah.
We're done. No more.
Weird true facts.
So what are you currently reading, Joshua?
Since we didn't do reading recommendations last week.
Yes, we skipped it by
accident. We might have skipped it maybe because we didn't read anything last week.
And maybe.
But I have finished two books since then. The first book, both of these... The first one's on Hoopla. This one's on Hoopla. The Chronicles of Exandria, The Mighty Nine. This is just a recollection of a podcast I listened to, actually.
Oh,
it chronicles
cool.
their adventures in their D&D campaign.
Cool. We should do a comic book.
Of what?
Our adventures.
That would be very boring.
We'll have to go on adventures.
Well, that's okay. That's true. It's on Hoopla. It's very cool. It just gives a background of each of the characters, their history and their past, and like impressions of their characters. And then it features a lot of fan art in the book as well.
Nice.
That's on Hoopla. Yeah, the second book we actually have in our system, you can check it out. It's called 1 Year at Ellesmere by Faith Erin Hicks. It's about someone who's goes to a middle school, like boarding school thing situation. She was accepted by a private scholarship, but she finds that she doesn't fit in there with all the other rich kids, and like because it's a boarding school in which like a lot of families are like have gone to for generations.
Oh,
so she's like kind of an outcast.
Sounds a lot like my high school life.
But she was, and she's like labeled as a special project.
Rude.
But so naturally, some people there don't like her, so they try to get her expelled and stuff. But it's just
golly.
Follows her adventures of her and her roommate and how they make it through 1 year at the school.
That sounds awesome. I actually would be very interested in reading that.
Yeah, I read it.
Pretty good.
Yeah, enjoy it. It's short. It's quick. You know. Doesn't take too long.
Nice. These are both graphic novels, right?
Look. No, actually, the first one's actually a book.
Oh,
it's
book.
A book.
Oh, a book.
Yeah.
Just clarifying.
Second one's a graphic novel.
Okay, cool. That's cool. I am still reading Midnight Sun by Stephanie Meyer because it is massive. It is 636 pages. I'm about halfway through it. For those that don't know, because Twilight is life, Midnight Sun is... Twilight, the first novel, from Edward the vampire's perspective, unlike Twilight, which is from Bella the human perspective.
Yeah, the boring perspective.
But yes. I mean, I have to say that I was really looking forward to this book because I don't like Bella and I didn't like being in her head. So I was like, yeah, let's be in Edward's head and let's find out what he was doing all those times. He's basically just obsessed with Bella, and then the book so far is just talking about how obsessed with Bella he is, so it's...
Surprise, surprise.
Kind of one note right now, but Twilight is still life, so... That's right, I said it. I stand by what I said. I am not a teeny bopper anymore, but Twilight is still life.
Hey, Team Jacob all the way.
Team Edward, forever. For eternity. What kind of person imprints on a baby?
Look, I was Team Jacob before that happened.
You're loyal. But if you think about it, Edward is like 100 and some years old, and he falls in love with a 17-year-old, so...
Look, we're not going to get into the semantics of Twilight relationships.
Why not? Separate episode.
That's going to be a long episode.
Just fighting back and forth between werewolves and vampires. Let's do it.
As always, most of our programming is still virtual.
Virtual. All of our programming is virtual.
Yeah. So check out our YouTube channel, please.
Yes. YouTube, Osceola Library, yeah. For not just youth programming, but adult programming and tech tips from Tech Central by yours truly.
We've had lots of interesting programs, escape rooms, and other things. So just keep an eye out for things that we're...
Virtual escape rooms are cool, man.
That we're doing. We still want... to keep you involved with stuff that's going on at the library. So
yes.
Yeah. And this is one of the ways that we can do that.
Yes, exactly. Hear, hear.
Hear, hear. But as always, just remember, we love our listeners.
And that's nonfiction, friends.